What's good, everybody? Thank you so much for joining. This is the G Podcast, where we focus on family, friends, finances, freedom, and our future, and everything else. This is the G Pod. We are live, and we got a special guest. We got Picasso in the building, and we got a great event coming up in Raleigh. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about, you know, this about to be another classic. Let's get right to it. Yes, indeed, y'all. One more time. This is the G Podcast, where we focus on family, friends, finances, freedom, and our future, and everything else. Picasso, thank you so much for joining.
I appreciate you for having me, man. I noticed all the great things that you're doing in the RDU area. So, you know, when we was having this event, I definitely wanted to reach out and just, you know, collaborate on some things. Now, even in the future, man. So I appreciate you for having me on your platform.
No doubt, man. And just to get right to it, it's a fly event going down in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's going down. What are the dates? It's July.
It's July 26th through 27th. We have VIP going on the 26th. VIP is now sold out. So we have, you know, just the 27th going on right now.
All right. So, hey, VIP, shout out to y'all. Y'all got them tickets early. But if you did not get those VIPs, it's still room for a Saturday activity. So the name of the event, Weekend of the Minds, just like talk to me about what this event even is and what people can expect.
Yeah. So this event is bringing a multitude of entrepreneurs from different industries together just to celebrate them, but also just to pass on the skill sets, to pass on the knowledge, to give trainings, to provide a network for individuals to, you know, just learn and cultivate each other. So we're bringing a lot of moguls in, people who have results, people who have crazy results at that. And they're going to be just giving the game to people. This is going to be a place where you come definitely with a pen and paper, a notepad, you know, ready to, you know, speak to individuals, you know, broaden your network. You know, it's going to be a great, you know, event full of knowledge.
Word. Okay. So Weekend of the Minds, entrepreneurial. I noticed on the website, it talked about health, wealth, tech, education. Like, just what, like, how did Weekend of the Minds even start? Like, just let's start there. How did this thing even become a real thing?
Yeah. So, you know, we're partnered with this company called Envision You. It's a health and wealth platform. It provides education for people to live a healthier and wealthier life. So, you know, we have this group called 1HG, which is One House. And we have, you know, great founders like Bryce Thompson, you know, Joshua Stewart, a lot of amazing individuals about my age that come together to provide a community, you know, for individuals who want to learn, you know, skills to be able to set them free financially so they can gain their time back. So, you know, about last year, we kind of reconvened and we was able to come up with this organization, and the organization already expanded within, you know, 20 to 30 countries already. We hop on Zooms. We have conversations like this. We pour into each other. And we just give education that can help people out, actually make them money, but, you know, give them a community to make it conducive for them to stay in the community and to make money. Because one thing about, you know, the entrepreneur success and road, it's one of those things where it can get lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you don't have that community, a lot of people start a business and that business disappears within the first year. You know, I can't, you know, even count how many people that have LLCs and those LLCs just disappear. You know, a lot of people talking about them on, you know, social media. Everybody gets LLCs, but not a lot of people are actually around for their business to grow and to be successful. So we wanted to create that community and solve that, you know, that problem that we have been seeing and bring more people that look like us to the table. So, you know, we just all providing value from each other, and we partner with this company called Envision You.
Word. Okay, so shout out to Envision You. What's the name of your company? Like, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, so basically I have a brand. My brand is Picasso, and we're partnered with, you know, 1HG, and 1HG provides an educational platform through Envision You. So Envision You has health and wealth products. Envision You has some of the latest technology. So we basically bring people together through this because they are already a company within their first. They've done extremely great things globally in terms of sales in terms of getting people on this educational platform and seeing results through that. So, you know, we partner with them and we just provide our little twist. We bring the culture to this company. We also bring, you know, young individuals like myself to continue to push the needle forward.
Word. Okay, yo, that's dope. And you mentioned some terms that I kind of want to just take some time and unpack, because we hear it a lot, especially in today, this term generational wealth, financially free. And it sounds like y'all got a workshop that will provide some tools that hopefully people can leverage and put themselves in these positions to start to attain this financial freedom and generational wealth. You know, that's one of the big pillars of the pod. We got the five F's, the finances, the freedom, the future. Like, I think it all fits very well. My question to you is, like, what do you think it means to be financially free?
Financially free, I really think it means to be able to wake up and to do whatever you want to. That's why I feel like entrepreneurship for me is so important, because I really don't know what I would do if I couldn't dictate what my day looks like. So it's more so, in some aspects, it's about money, because if you don't have money, you have to kind of spend your time to be able to make money. But for me, it's more so about the freedom to be able to spend this time that God has given me doing the things that I feel like are actually my purpose. Really, just to give you a little background, I literally had about three jobs my whole entire life. My first job was at Burger King in Tarboro, North Carolina. And it was
252.
252, that's exactly where I'm from. So it was one of those things, man. I used to work, but the schedule used to be like every Friday. So I used to miss all the high school football games, you know, a person in high school, we always want to go to the Friday night light.
We're talking Tarboro High School as well, or a different high school?
I went to Southwest.
Southwest, okay, word.
It's a small area. That was our rival school, actually. But, you know, I wanted to be able to work so I can make money, you know, to at least buy some Jordans, because that was the time around 2015 that, you know, the Jordan releases was coming out and everybody just had a Jordan. So I was like, let me go ahead and get a job. But it was one of those things where, you know, it just like every time I would go to work, I would just feel like I was in a cage. So, you know, I end up literally just working 2 days out the week. I worked on that Saturday and that Sunday, but it got to a point where, you know, I just did not like to go to work so much that I would get people to replace me on the job. And, you know, it was some people that really wanted the bread. So they'd come in the extra 2 days, and it got to a point where I got people to replace me for like 3 months straight, you know. And when I came back in there, they had to retrain me all over again. I was like, yeah, it's just time for me to head out.
You know? What was it about that job for you that it just brought that feeling that you described, that you weren't feeling it at all? Like, what was it about that role in particular?
I think it's the mental aspect of me having to stay one place and not go anywhere. Like, whether that was from, you know, 4 o'clock to 12, it was just the mental confinement of me having to stay here for, you know, the rest of the night. And I couldn't go anywhere. It almost felt like I was marginalized in a certain aspect. And I wanted to live a life where it was more free. Mm. You know, I wanted to live a life where, you know, I wanted to become my own boss, you know, and I didn't really understand it at that point. But, you know, just more things happened over time. And it's like, you know, my life was almost designed for me to be an entrepreneur.
And you felt that in high school, like from that first experience, you could just sense that it something had to be different for you.
Yes, but I didn't really understand how to verbalized it. I just knew I didn't like it. Mm. But fast forward, I went to North Carolina Central. Shout out to Durham. I went to North Carolina Central and I was going there to be a lawyer, because, you know, when you're from the 252, you want to do things to make sure you're going to make it out. So I want to make sure that I was going to be successful. So I was hearing a lot of people saying, you know, lawyers make money. So when I go to Central, I'm like, guess what I'm going to go major in?
One of the best law schools in the state, or really in the country, if we're being honest. Yeah.
Like, I want to be a lawyer. And, you know, it was one of those things where I heard somebody say one thing and I changed my major. Somebody say, you know, there's broke lawyers too. In my mind, like, I'm like, if I'm gonna go to school, it need to be 100% chance that I'm going to be successful, because I'm going to school so I can be financially successful, so I can be free. To me, I just wanted to live a life where I don't have to make decisions based on money. Mm-hmm. Realize that there's people in life that, you know, they might be from another place. They might have, you know, rich, wealthy, you know, parents and things of that nature. And they're literally able to make decisions without money being involved, so they can really live out their true purpose. Because a lot of people, they might don't even know what they like, because they might not be in a social class that can afford those things. Like, you might like fencing, you might like wine tasting, but, you know, in your community, you know, football and basketball could be more prevalent because of the social and economic status. So, like, if you have more money and capital, you can do more things to figure out what you actually like, because you have money to try different things. So you really never know who you are until you have more possibilities. You know, you might really be who you are based upon, you know, your community that you're in. You might be who you are based upon, you know, the economic class that you're in and the activities surrounding around the economic class. So I want it to be a part of an environment where eventually I can learn a skill. I can become who I want to be without worrying about money, because when you're worried about money, sometimes you got to worry about paying the bills, and then you can end up working a job that you really don't like, and it take away all of what your biggest asset. So that's what I understand. And that's why I want to learn skills. That's why I'm in this community, so I can learn skills so I can do the things that I want to do. Because, you know, when you're in college, you're 18 years old, you go to a college and they ask you what you want to do for the rest of your life. They ask you to pick one major. And, you know, I'm pretty sure just like you, you know, in kindergarten, I was telling people I want to be a firefighter. You know, and like that definitely changed. But it's the same thing in college. The person who I was at 18 years old is not the same person I am right now. It's not the same person when I graduate. So you can choose a passion, and your passion can end up haunting you later, because you can become a different person. While you're developing, and you can have that free range because you know how to make money, and you can, you know, end up learning yourself more, and you can have that deep breath. You can take your time. You can have that patience to really, you know, figure out yourself and do what you want to do.
Word. No, man, I agree what you're saying, and I can relate to that, because, like, one, when I went to school, I had no clue what I was even trying to do professionally. I was just thinking I need to go to school and get a degree, and I wasn't even really thinking about jobs like that when I was in school. And when I chose a major, I had, you know, in high school, it took me 3 years just to get through Spanish too. You feel me? So I was just looking for any major that said Spanish was not a requirement, no foreign language requirement. So I just went down a list of, like, what's the requirements? Where can I avoid Spanish? Ended up landing in the school of business. And to that point, it's like, I thought I was good in math. Let me do accounting just to figure out, oh no, I ain't with this accounting. Like, it's gotta be something else out here. So it's like, I feel what you're saying there for real, because especially at that age, you're so impressionable, you're still developing. And a lot of us, depending on where we grow up, don't have that exposure.
Right.
As you talked about, like, talk to me, just growing up in Tarboro. I spent some time in Edgecombe working for an Upward Bound program. We would recruit out of Tarboro High School. We would recruit out of Southwest. We would recruit out of, is it Northeast or Northwest? Okay. Edgecombe? They like that purple colors or something like that. I could be off on that one. But I do know the uniqueness of, like, that pocket of North Carolina. It's still wildly underdeveloped. So I'm just curious, like, from your perspective, how do you feel about growing up in Tarboro, and is that somewhere where you still often visit today?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Macclesfield, North Carolina. So
word.
It's in a small area where Pine Tops is at. It's always a conversation
people
ask me about where I'm from, because nobody has ever heard of Macclesfield. So I'm always kind of explaining the surrounding areas. But, you know, I went to Southwest. I grew up in Macclesfield. And it was just, I'll say it was a quiet area. I lived on 258. So it's one of those things where you have to drive a little bit for a grocery store. You know, it was two malls. It was in Greenville or, you know, Rocky Mount. And, you know, if you wanted to get fly, the best place, your best bet is Paxson. You know, you can go in there and you can pick one shirt, and then you go back to school, everybody have your shirt on. It was just one of those environments where it was a small town. You know, you got a lot of people that are great in sports. And, you know, for the people that are not great in sports, you got, you know, other individuals that are hopping off of the porch, you know. So, you know, I'll say majorly in my high school career, I was just trying to figure out who exactly I was going to be. It's crazy because a lot of people wouldn't even know, like, they look at me now and they looked at me back in high school. They probably would have never even imagined how I turned out, because I graduated high school with a 2.8. And I always knew I was smart, but I just got a rude awakening that last day they was giving out awards. I'll never forget it. I had invited my parents, my parents to pull up. And I literally just was sitting in the back and I didn't get any award. And I always knew that I had potential. I always knew I was smart. I just really wasn't in college. Well, in high school to, you know, really lock in. So individuals was getting different, you know, acceptance letters. They was getting different scholarship offers. And I was just sitting in the back because, you know, my last name is Smith. So I was in the back anyways. And, you know, I'm just sitting in the back looking like, dang, like I literally just wasted my potential, you know, and it's crazy. I had always had glimpses of who I was supposed to be anyways, because I had a C in math class, you know, my math teacher, he just selected me for the math competition. And in my head, I'm like, why are you selecting me? I know we in Edgecombe County, you know, and, you know, you just trying to pick somebody because you got to pick some people. But like, why you select me? And I end up going to that math competition and winning second place.
It started to see,
if I really lock in with this education thing, like I could have went to just any college I wanted to. But it was one of those things where Central was the only school that accepted me.
Mm-hmm.
Only school that accepted me. And I had went there because I had a sister, you know, she had went there as well. But both me and my sister, we wanted to go to ECU because I had two sisters that went to ECU already. But we was just the bunch that didn't get accepted to ECU. So, you know, I just followed her to North Carolina Central. And I end up, you know, like really having a chip on my shoulder, like something I got to prove to myself. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm smart. I know I have to apply myself. It's all about, am I going to apply myself to this particular, you know, area, education? And that's why when I went to Central, I really wasn't playing no games, you know?
So small world, bro, but I'm just now piecing together. I think I'm confident. I know at least two of your sisters.
Oh yeah, you probably do, because when you said Overbound, I'm like, I was in Overbound.
So I must have left when you joined. It might have been the same program. I'm not gonna say the name, but it might have been the same program. But one of your sisters' names start with an A. And I remember that they had a young, because they had multiple siblings in the program, and they had a little brother named Carl. That's crazy. I'm just now piecing that together. Wow. Okay. I'm having a brain fart here, because in our interaction and talking, I never really pieced this together. So I'm just now realizing that. Okay. All right. So tell me this. When you were, you know, I relate to a lot of what you're saying. I graduated with a sub 3.0 from high school. I only got accepted to one school, which was a HBCU. Shout out to Winston-Salem State. Sure. And, I ended up graduating with honors from Winston-Salem State, something where when I was in high school, I never even made the honor roll. And so I'm like, okay, I can relate to what you're saying. Like, so I know you was thinking about being a lawyer. Like, talk to me about coming to a city like Durham from Edgecombe County. Was there any adjustment? Did it feel like you were like a small fish in a big pond type deal, or like a fish out of water? Like, what was that adjustment like? Because it is two different parts of North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, while I was in the 252, I probably went to Raleigh like 3 to 4 times, you know what I'm saying? Unless, you know, the summer program. But Raleigh wasn't like a place. It was like when you living in this, in you know, Eastern North Carolina, places like Raleigh and Charlotte, like they really are the city to you, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, I went to Crabtree. I went to South Point Mall. I'm like, yo, it is really, it's a new place out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's a lot of opportunities. And you know, when you transition from high school to college, you have the ability to really be who you want to be. It's almost mm-hmm. like a fresh new start, you know? So I was just super hungry for opportunity. And I felt like this was the exact place to be. It was kind of, it gave me the home vibes, but you know, cause you know, down in the 252, it gets a little sketchy sometimes. And I'll say Durham is, you know, it's like that too. You know, you're going to find it. You know what I'm saying? So like, if you're looking right. for opportunity, you're going to find opportunity. But if you're looking for anything else, you're going to find that as well. So, you know, it's just about, you know, me using my, you know, my mental template just to really figure out, okay, I'm going to be around these people. I'm not going to be around these people. Like, I want to stick to the people that are trying to be in college organizations. You know, I want to stick to the people who are hungry. And that's one thing that I really notice about an HBCU. Like, it's so much talent there. It's so many people that are like me. They're hungry to really, you know, make it out of their situation and to really, like, not just go back to their hometown. A lot of people's objective, you know, when you come from certain small towns, it's like, I am not just in here for good grades. Like, I'm in here to really, you know, be that generational curse breaker.
Right. Okay? Right.
When I came here, I had my game face on. A lot of things that, you know, a lot of college students was doing for the first time in college, like, I had already did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, back in the 2-5, so I was used to, you know, maybe going to a party here and there. And so when people came to college, like, I literally seen that very aspect, like, turn them, like, they not even here next semester.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit too hard because they're not used to it. Like, their parents are not around, and they're really just trying to explore, what's that word again? Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. it was something that I came here like I'm ready to work. I'm ready to work.
And like, so talk to me about, because just for people listening, you know, there might be some folks listening who have like younger folks who maybe might be entertaining NC Central. Look, I got a lot of love for Central growing up in Durham. I grew up in Durham. I wanted to go somewhere outside of Durham. So I didn't even apply to Central because I was like, I got to get out of Durham to do something different. And I ain't want to go to Durham B, which is Greensboro. So I was like, okay, let me do something that I didn't even expect. Like for you, when you're at Central, like tell me what, like for people listening, what's the best thing about being an Eagle?
Dog, it's crazy, man. I've really been an Eagle. I started an Eagle. You know what I'm saying? I went to GW Carver in Pine Top. You know what I'm saying? So I started an Eagle, and I end up, you know, being an Eagle in college as well. When I tell you that going to North Carolina Central was one of the best decisions of my entire life. Like, you know, from me learning historical things about Black people and, you know, my just perspective on the Black man in America and, you know, what we have to do, the things that we went through, it changed my perspective with being around my people. And, you know, just my perspective about everything. You know, when I first got to Central, that was like my first time, you know, seeing Black men really dress up in suits. You know what I'm saying? In the 2-5, I see everybody putting, like, I used to love, you know, dressing in clothes. I see everybody wearing the Jordans, but, you know, on Wednesdays, I'm seeing the brothers dress up. You know, I end up joining, you know, the best fraternity in the world, Kappa Alpha Psi. And I literally, like, that was the first thing. I seen one individual, one brother on campus. He was just, I love the way how he carried himself. And I'm like, that drew me to, you know, the organization. And, you know, I learned leadership. I learned just so much. Like, I can't even put into words, like, what Central's done for me. My mentor, the late Keon Brown, I met him at Central. And he's the reason why I even became an entrepreneur, you know? The story just goes, it goes on and on, but I can say like Central has done a whole lot for me in terms of my perspective, having that family environment, the community environment. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to a homecoming at North Carolina Central, but, you know, it's definitely the place to be. You know, it just feels like one big family reunion and everybody showing love. So that love from strangers and that community where everybody knows each other is top notch. You know, it is a big university, but it's one of those things that if you know somebody's face, you really know everybody. It's not too big, you know, and the classes are, you know, they're a great size as well. And you can really, you know, have great relationship with the teachers. One thing that I used to do at Central that, you know, I really felt like put me ahead of the game was make relationships with teachers. So, you know, what I used to do is I'll make a meeting with them and I'll ask them, like, what can I do to earn an A in your class? Like, what can I do to earn an A in your class? And I always used to show up, do all I can to be the best student I can be. It was this one individual. He was the hardest teacher in the mass communication department. And I ended up getting a letter of recommendation for him because I would always show up at his office. So they have staff that are willing to help people. Like, they have great staff. You're going to earn it for sure. His name was Thomas Letts. And I remember I got a B in his class. And everybody was failing his class. Like, if you got through Thomas Letts writing class, he was like that. Like, he not nobody slide through the gate. If you got a B and a letter of recommendation from him, like, you was an individual that showed up every single day. Like, if it was a problem, I'm here to learn. And he'll literally have you sitting at your computer desk if you can't figure out what the problem is. And that taught me how to think.
Word. Yeah, yo, I like you mentioning teaching people how to think, because that's an underrated. So people talk about education and why do we go to school? Why are we learning about all this stuff we don't use? But low key, a good education teaches you how to process information, how to think. There's an actual method to it. And to your point, man, I like how you said it. Like, young people got to learn how to think. And it's like some people are more intuitive with it. It's more natural. But most of us have to be taught this stuff. Like, you learn through process, and a great school, a great education will help you develop a mind that understands how to actually think things through, especially problems and finding solutions. So it sounds like when you went to Central, you mentioned earlier, you was thinking, okay, lawyer, but then somebody made you change your major. Was it a mass comm or a communications major that you ended up studying, or what was your major at Central?
Yeah, so at first it started out political science. It started out political science with a minor in mass communication. Then I had an internship. I had two internships that, you know, was super impactful to my career. The first internship would be the one at Princeton University out in Princeton, New Jersey. And there I was around a lot of high achieving students. I was their mentor for the summer. And, you know, I realized how advanced they was. And, you know, that changed my whole perspective on the information that I was getting. It just gave me new outlooks on, you know, the way other people think. Like, those kids was like so smart. They was giving me ideas that I never even, you know, thought of. And it was just impressive. I realized how powerful a school system is.
Yo, like, that's kind of fire, man. Like, shout out to that. You got an internship at Princeton as a kid from small town in Edgecombe, went to an HBCU. And then you found an internship at Princeton. How do you find an opportunity like that?
Man, it's crazy. I just went to career services, and you'll be surprised how many people don't go. So, like, when I tell you that I really wanted to be successful, I did. And all I did was just utilize the resources that was on campus. Mm. And people realize that not a lot of people go to career services. While I was there, the internship was just literally like funneling between, you know, a select few people that actually showed up.
Career services, the job fairs, the career fairs, like all that stuff you talk about. I love what you putting down here, because that is a fact. I was one that did not go to career services, didn't go to job fairs or nothing. So like I was one of them, unfortunately. But it's fire to hear how you get these opportunities. Like you said, you went there locked in. You weren't really there to play around. You knew you had a mission and you went for it. Like, what, you know, Princeton has a certain reputation, Ivy League, prestigious university, one of the more selective universities in the country, one of the hardest things to get associated with. Did you have any kind of like fear going up there for something like that? Like thinking like, oh boy, I'm about to go up to Princeton, or did it, or, you know, did you walk in there thinking like, I got this?
Yeah. So, you know, I work for the W.E. Du Bois Scholars Institute. So, you know, it was on the site of, you know, Princeton, and, you know, the person who had started that, you know, he was a North Carolina Central alum. So he was picking people, alumni from Central as well, to be able to come back and give back to Princeton. But a lot of those kids that I was teaching, they did look like me campus. And, you know, they was super smart. They was super smart. It was in the New Jersey area. And, you know, it was the summertime. So it really wasn't too many people on campus. I wouldn't say it was a culture shock, but I did just notice small things just about the vicinity of these colleges and universities. Because if you ever been to Central, you know, we got the gas station around there. We got Cookout. You know what I'm saying? You go to Princeton, you got the Rolex store. You got Ralph Lauren. Like, you had to drive out of Princeton to get a haircut as a black man. Mm. So the location wasn't as welcoming, because it really didn't have too many things, I would say, that like a barbershop, just the small things to be able to cater to a black man. It's just the details that I realized, like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, think about being able to a Rolex is right by your institution. Right? We got Cookout, you know,
right?
It's a conversation.
Pawn shops.
We got pawn shops. So it just made me realize, you know, just a lot. Man, I just realized, like, when I went there, I came back home to Central, and I was like, okay, these are the kids that the people in this college are going to be up against. Mm. I met some people there. Like, I know people that knew about all the bones in the body. They could play multiple instruments, and they was just in the eighth and ninth grade. Mm. Like, it just made me turn up. Like, I came back home pescatarian, because I ain't never even hear that diet in the 2-5, you know what I'm saying, or in Durham in general. And, you know, a lot of kids there, they just had different diets there. You know, they lived a completely different life that just made me, it exposed me to more. Then I had another internship. I got it from my boy Reef. Shout out to Reef. He had put me on with his cousin CJ. He was a fraternity as well. And it was one of those things where he put me on because I was in one as well. So I was making calls trying to be a stockbroker, you know, as well, because I always wanted to live a luxurious life, you know. So, you know, I was going to say, like, hey, let me try this stockbroking stuff out. I know if I'm in New York learning how to communicate, that is probably the best place in the world to go get your hustle. Today, that my hustle, I'm from the 252, but my hustle came from New York that summer. I didn't have any house. And like, my story is all about faith. I literally took a free internship in the biggest city in the world, and I had never been to New York before. That is so big. You have people worry about your mom, like, hey, you know, do you know how to navigate the buses and stuff like that? And I'm telling her, like, yo, I'm just about to go to New Jersey, stay with my friend that live in New Jersey, and get a free internship that I'm not getting paid for. I got the most value doing something absolutely free. Mm. I wake up at 5 o'clock every morning. 5 o'clock, and I get to the bus stop at 6. And then, you know, the bus take me to Port Authorities. And then I walk to maybe, I think it's 38th Street. And I walk there, and I get on the phone, and I call 200 people a day. I'm out dialing. You get leads. Dialing 200 people a day.
That's my world right there, brother, man. I'm in the world of software sales. So I know a lot about what you about to continue, please.
Yeah. Like, you know, 200 calls a day, you know what I'm saying? Just that's the hustle. I'm learning how to communicate. I'm listening to the other stockbrokers in the office. And this ain't no regular office. This ain't no office where they're talking like.
So hold on. You're making calls to do what?
So basically I'm making calls to people to get them to invest money with our stockbroker. Mm-hmm. To get them to pass the lead on to our senior stockbroker so he can mm-hmm. close and they can have an account, you know, with multiple figures, you know? So mm-hmm. that's what I was doing. And it was a hustle. Like my goal was to make at least 100 calls. And then at 12, I let it go to a pizza shop, get a 99-cent pizza. You know, you got the hot sauce, the pepper and stuff, you know? And I go to Bryan Park. That's like the only piece of greenery. And I used to just go there and listen to a man like play the piano. I was like, man, I want to make money, but I want to do something I love. That was the best internship I ever got because a whole lot of money was on the line, but I knew that I was unhappy. So I got a first glimpse like, okay, I know I don't want to be working for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think this for me. And I got there that I got the notion that, wow, like, it's not even about money. It's about what you like to do. Because I could have been, you know, did that after graduation and been making a lot of money. But, like, I'm like, yo, this ain't it right here. You know what I'm saying? I'm making 200 calls and then I'm getting back on the bus. You know what I'm saying? Going to Port Authority because you don't want to miss your bus stop. That was the first time I took off running. You know, on a bus, like I'm one of those individuals, like I'm trying to be cool, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be cool when I walk to the bus, but you know, that bus get taken off. Like I'm over here in my suit and my church shoes running to the bus, you know what I'm saying? And I had this my best
pursuit of happiness out there.
That's exactly what it was,
yeah.
KK lived in New Jersey, but he didn't go to the city a lot. So, like, he barely knew how to get around, you know what I'm saying? So, he told me where he thought I should get off at the bus stop. I end up going to the bus stop and it was the wrong one. And I'm like, listen, I ain't got too much money out here. I'm trying to make something straight. So I end up literally walking that extra 30 minutes to his crib. This dude had me walking on the freeway.
Wow.
I was like, man, I think it's a better way. I was like, all right, you know. But it was just one of those moments that I just learned, like, it was a pursuit of happiness moment. You know, my faith got me there. And my faith really gave me all the information because I was able to meet up with Keon Brown. You know, Keon Brown was an individual, my line brother, Dyro's mentor first. So Dyro introduced me to Keon and, you know, we clicked. And when I went to New York, that's where he lived at. And Keon, man, he was like an entrepreneur. He knew how to, he did everything. He was one of those individuals that nobody really knew what Keon did. Mm-hmm. No people like that.
Like Tommy, like with a job and on Martin.
Something like that. But in terms of like entrepreneurship, like he was always living the life he wanted. Like he took me out and I had, you know, wine and oysters for the first time, you know. He exposed me to a private chef. You know what I'm saying? They gave like a private presentation on how to use certain skillets for your health. And this lady had a testimony about how her son had a bad health scare and she was able to switch the instruments in which she was using to cook to doctor him back up. He was such of a resource. And he always used to say, you know, how could I support you? And that's one thing that, you know, he passed away last year. That's one of the things that I always say to other people because, man, when I tell you, I went to New York, he pulled out his phone. He said, anything that you want to do, let me know and I'll make a call. And at that point, I said, I want to be a stockbroker because that was what the internship was about. It got this dude on the phone. He had worked at a firm and he was just telling me how he was about 35 years old and he just had a heart attack. His wife was scared for him to go back to work because his job had a high stress risk. I remember, you know, after the internship, I text Keon. I'm like, yo, hey, man, I don't want to do this.
It's definitely high pressure. It's high pressure for sure.
Yeah, I was testing Keon like, I don't want to do this no more. You think I could work with you? And he was like, man, just use the talents that God gave you to make your own way. He said, create your own job.
Mm-hmm.
Those are words like I literally have the text message in my phone. Like when he passed away, that's the first thing like I went back to because I screenshotted that because it was in that moment that planted a seed for me because nobody had ever told me to create my own job. Mm-hmm. Because I realized how much that my mindset was institutionalized. And once he said that, it was like, it just opened up an alleyway of thoughts. Like, wow, I can't create my own job.
So, and you're still in school at this point. It's internship. This like around junior year, sophomore year.
Yep, junior year going into senior year.
And I heard you mention, you said you thought you were going to do the law thing. Then you switched major to political science. What'd you end up finishing with?
I ended up finishing with mass communication and journalism.
Mass communications and journalism. Why did you end up finishing there?
Because I feel like it was more a of a expression type of major, you know. You know, it writing was a venture where I felt like I can express myself. And you know, my history with writing stems really back in the fifth grade. At the DARE speech. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. At the DARE speech, I literally won and I was speaking for the first time in fifth grade. And I was just realized, like, later in my life, I realized, like, wow, I've been doing a lot of public speaking for a very long time. Fifth grade is just like, it's so perfect because you ain't even got the fear in you. Mm-hmm. You get picked for a speech. It's like, yo, you ready to go up there and, you know, speak. And it's crazy. I was so short back then. They had a little, what you call a step stool up so I can stand on the podium and say my speech. But I end up winning because my granddad had passed away in the fourth grade from lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was basically writing about how I'm not going to smoke. And, you know, that's where my love for writing came in. And then, you know, I started to write for the Campus Echo at Central. And, you know, I had a class. I had a class. I forgot her name specifically, but that class was hectic because, like, you literally had to go out in Durham and find a story.
Like, that's wild. Now, when you say go out in Durham and find a story, like, what kind of stories you looking for in Durham? Like you said, if you're looking for it here, you going to find it. Like, what is you reporting on?
It's really like whatever you want it to. It's like that. It's not a class where you just had to. I think it was like advanced writing. I can't remember specifically, or advanced journalism, but it ain't no class setting. Like sometimes you get class setting to learn about how you can write different things. But other times you'll literally just have to go and find a story and write about it. So, you know, I end up writing about my barber, you know, about how, you know, he's a barber, but he's a therapist and things of that nature. I end up writing about Rod. He is a principal at a school. I was just finding different businesses to go up on, and, you know, just asking them, can I tell their story? And I end up winning an award at the Southern, I forgot the specific name, but I end up winning a writing award as well. And, you know, writing is something that, you know, I use now, you know, in multitude of different ways, or just describing the things that I do. Yep. Or just communicating in general. Like, writing is so important. I learned about gatekeepers. Like, you really can change somebody's perspective based upon how you write. If I write with a prejudice, like, I can make you think the same thing that I think. That's why social media is so dangerous. The power is really in the person that got the pen. That's really what history is. The person that controls the pen, the people that control publishing, the people that control books. These are the people who are controlling the narrative.
Right. Yeah, like, that's a fact.
Always be important. But, you know, if you're wondering, like, how did I get to this entrepreneur state right here? It was one of those things where an individual named Kalai Lacombe, he was my frat brother. He went to UNCG. That's my brother. But I didn't know him at the time. I seen him on Instagram. I seen him on Instagram trading, making money. And he used to talk about it all the time. I'm like, yo, he always talking about this. So I'm going to see what he talking about. Mm-hmm. I ended up seeing where he was talking about. And it was one of those things where I joined him and I was able to take 10 cents and turn it into $10.
So, okay. So you graduate with that mass comm major. Did you try to get another job at that point after you graduated, or did you go straight into this entrepreneurial mode?
Guys, timing. I had joined Kalaya a week before graduation. I had joined Kalaya a week before graduation. Like, I had been seeing him do what he did for a very long time, but I was just like one of those individuals where I let two of my other line brothers join the opportunity before me. And I'm like, yo, you just give me your password and I'm gonna learn it, because I didn't want to pay. Mm-hmm. But my line brothers probably wasn't going to look at the information as detailed as me, because I like to read. Like, I'm going to figure everything out. So they gave me the password, but it was just one of those things where it's like, I need to be 100% in it. So I joined a week before graduation and I moved in with my sister. She stayed in Raleigh as well. So I moved in with my sister. And, you know, I had a little twin bed and I had my laptop. That's all I needed. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it was one of those eras where it was 2019 and we was going into COVID. So, you know, I really.
So you graduated like the summer of 2019 or like in 2020?
The summer of 2019.
Okay, word. So it was before COVID hit in 2020, but it was coming. Okay.
It was coming. But it was just one of those things where I took 10 cents and I turned to $10 and I seen how other people.
And you're saying you did that literally, not figuratively speaking. You took a dime and turned that into $10.
Yes, I popped a lot size of a 0.10 trading in the Forex market.
So let's, like, when we say trading and Forex market, like as, in layman's terms, like what types, like what are you trading and what is the Forex market for, like, the regular person listening who don't know?
Yeah, so you're just exchanging currencies. So, you know, you're just exchanging the values of different currency as it goes up and down. You know, so you might exchange the United States dollar versus the, you know, the Canadian, you know, not the Canadian, but the, you know, let's say I really
British pound, or
I really don't even trade currency pairs anymore. Like, I really just trade gold. That's what I'm trading now. So I really don't dive too deep in the foreign exchange market. I really be, you know, tapping in with the metals.
Metals.
Yeah.
Well, why metals?
I just like the way that gold moves.
Mm.
In the simplest forms, I love the way that gold moves. It has a great risk reward. And I feel like it doesn't be trying to trick you out as much. When I first started trading, I was trading everything. That was the problem for me. Mm. I was trying to trade everything. And it was one of those things where it's like, if you're trading everything, you're not going to know the patterns of how everything moves. So it's like, if you stick with one pair and you really lock in with that, like, it has a rhythm. It's literally patterns. So, you know, I locked into that, and I realized, like, if I made this and I'm seeing what these other people in the chat making,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay here until I figure all this out.
And like, what type of platform or website can you do stuff like this? Trade gold, metals? Like, where can you even get started if somebody wanted to look into that?
Yeah, so literally, like, you have to get a broker. You have to get a broker because, you know, you cannot just show up to the market and trade. Like, everybody has to have a broker to be able to approach the market. And that's literally what we have in our community. Like, we have trading education, we have e-commerce education, like, we have health and wellness products. Like, we have everything. We have the education that, you know, can give people so they can learn everything about that. But, you know, for other people, like, it's so many people that, you know, trade now, because when we did this in 2019, like, we was really like trailblazers.
And when you say our community, like, put a name on, just so people know exactly what you're talking about, these resources available for your community, more specifically your community, meaning.
Yes. FL2 1HG Envision You. Right. Mm-hmm. The app that we use. And that's one of the things that we will be going over, you know, at the event as well. Whole presentation on it. But, you know, we use this and we have, you know, 7-figure traders that are literally educating people on their strategies, you know, giving people, you know, educational ideas that they can execute. It's just one of those things where it's giving people a one-stop shop. And that was my biggest problem, because YouTube University is not going to do that for you. Like, YouTube University would give you lesson 50 and then it'd take you back to lesson 3. And then you go into lesson 25, like, it's the order that matters. It's the sequence. And most importantly, I would say it's the mentors that matter. Like, if you really want to trade, you have to get a good mentor, like somebody that really understands the skills, somebody that's really making money, because, you know, those individuals will be able to give you specific,
specific
shortcuts. Because, like, trading is like, come here, I'm gonna take you to this library, and it's a million books in here. It's a million strategies. It's a million terminologies. It's a million ways to do this. But a mentor is like, here's this specific book. Here's this specific chapter. Here's this specific page. Focus on that.
And just to make sure that this is clear, weekend of the minds, VIP already sold out on the 26th, but we still got more tickets left for the event on the 27th. You can get access to these resources. And just like Picasso said earlier, he took advantage of the resources that were there. This might be the opportunity you was waiting for to try something different. You never know. Appreciate everybody watching. Just as a housekeeping note, take advantage of the resources. We trying to get financial freedom over here, man. Hit that super chat. You can leave a little tip for a brother. Everything's independent over here at the G Pod. Also, if you listening right now, please hit that subscribe button. We appreciate everybody who coming through. But again, weekend of the minds, July 27th, still got tickets available, and these resources will be there for you to take advantage of. But we're gonna unpack a little bit more, but I wanted to just reinforce that one more time.
Yes, it's really about 50 tickets left. It's going to be a sold out event again. It's gonna be about 200 people coming to Raleigh, and I'm super excited about this. Like, really excited, because in my whole time in this community, events like these have been in Florida. They've been in ATL. They've been in Phoenix, Arizona. They've been in all the big cities. But me and my partners was able to really advocate for, you know, individuals to come to Raleigh. Like, I don't have to catch a flight for this one. It's 15 minutes out. We have whales that are coming, literally, like, that are making 7 figures in the market, that are coming to do trainings, and the tickets are $10. Like, this is what resources is about, because a lot of these, you know, courses or all that, they're not affordable to the community. They're not affordable to a community. And I can, you know, I'm a living testament that this is affordable, but most importantly, like, it's all about you. It's all about you. Like, it's some people that come into the mindset with, they treat it like gambling. Like, this is an Ivy League skill. Like, you're not about to just come in here and just, you know, just start gambling, having that gambling mentality. Like, you really have to learn this. I tell people to give trading the same respect if you gave your degree. This is about fourth to fifth year. You know, you got people that want to come in here and, you know, trade and quit their jobs in a month and not try to learn. Don't watch no videos. They just want to come in here and gamble. But if you have the access to the right information and you around the right people, environment alone is really 70% of a lot of people's problem. If you got access to the right information and the right people and the right resources, that is the formula to the life that individuals want.
And so, like, let's say area and you're thinking about going, you on the fence right now. You like, I don't know. Like, what would you say to someone listening right now who might be on the fence about why they might even want to consider something like this? Maybe they don't think entrepreneurship and all that trading stuff is for them. Maybe that's just too fancy, too complicated. What might you say to those types of folks?
I would say that you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. That's it. You know, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. It's one of those things that I when I first got in here, like, I don't feel like trading is a passion. It's just a means to make money. Like, I know a lot of people that go to jobs they don't really like to be able to make money. If you don't like trading, why not do it? Because you might not like it, but it gives you a means to make money, and the possibility is endless. Like, you can make $100,000 a day. You can make six figures in a day. You can make people's salary in a day. So if you're already doing things that you don't like to make money, why not do something that you think you wouldn't like that has a bigger possibility?
So you're saying bigger upside. And like, so this idea of trading, like, just from your experience, can we talk about some of the realities that you might have learned through? Because like you said, a lot of money can be made in a day, but a lot of money can be lost in a day as well, right? Like, it's a up and a down. So I don't want to just tell viewers, like, oh, trading, everything is going to go right, because the markets fluctuate. So, like, talk about that reality, that it won't always be a straight line to profit and revenue.
Yeah, the market ain't got no emotion. Like, it takes your shirt off your back if you come around here playing. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I would say it reads you. Like, some people think they're reading charts, but it reads you. It's going to really figure out your relationship with money. Do you look at money as a tool, or do you look at money as a master? Do you have your emotions in check? Do you have your emotions in check when it comes to money? Trading is not really trading. Trading is risk management. Mm-hmm. Are you the manager of money? You just waiting for miracles all the time. Like, this is really a reflection of you. And when I learned that, that's when I was able to progress. And sometimes, you know, some people come into the game a little bit early at different stages of their life. They might not even understand, like, what is it trying to reveal to them about themselves? That's why trading leads a lot of individuals to their personal development journey. Mm. Because it comes to a point, you start losing money, and the reason that you're losing money is because of you. And we all heard that saying that you really get to the next level when you're tired of your own stuff.
When did you get tired of your own stuff?
After I got my stimulus pack, I put my whole stimmy in there. I put my whole stimmy pack in there. And boom, gone.
Oh, man. How fast did it go away?
Man, I was on a tear for about 3 days. Boom. After that, gone.
Gone.
Yeah, and it was because I didn't put any protection on my trade. I didn't put no stop loss, and it went the other way. Like, every reason as why I lost money is because of you. And that's what life is about. It's about having accountability mindset, not the victim mentality. When you have the accountability mindset, you're always going to find a way to get better. So every time I would, you know, do certain things, I would have the accountability mindset, and I would use that lesson to improve. That's the difference between a lot of people who make a lot of money and lose a lot of money. The first difference is education. Some people just don't have the education that they need. Some people, they want to make money, but they don't want to learn how to make money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I've really been able to mentor over 600 plus individuals with this specific subject. The biggest reason as to why I see people fail, they didn't want to pay the price, or they try to bargain for it. That's for anything.
Can't get everything at a discount.
They're not trying to imply themselves. Like, they're not, like, trying to really sacrifice for this. Like, I told myself, if I could stay up, I used to stay up all night doing exam times to get a alphabetical grade on my exam.
Right.
I stay up to learn this skill. Like, what are we doing here? I see what others have done. And I'm one of those individuals, if I see one person do it, like, I feel like I can too.
It can be done. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I really just use my hustle. Like, that's why I'll say, like, really say what's different about me is, like, I just do things that have a bigger ceiling. Because deep at heart, I really believe, like, I can be lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this world is going to be ran by a lazy man. And the reason why I say that is because think about all these inventions that come. All these thoughts are stemmed from people being lazy.
Lazy smart. They gonna figure out how to do the get the most doing the least. They gonna think that shit through. Hey, shout out to the lazy out there listening, man. Shout out to y'all, man.
Saying that I don't dream of work. Like, I don't dream of work. Like, I really want to, I'm on this earth. Everybody has a clock that they cannot see. I genuinely want to enjoy my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to enjoy my life, and there's nothing wrong with that. I want to be efficient. You think about all these, you know, people who are inventing things right now. You know, they might invent, right, for the people that want to leave their house. Like, you ain't got a grocery shop anymore.
Yeah.
These people are finding more efficient ways to do that, you know, and they're just thinking about how can we save ourselves the most time, energy, and effort.
So talk to me about, like you say, you mentored hundreds at this point. Like, why even spend the time to be a mentor to so many people? Because that's a lot of your personal time away from other stuff you could be doing. Why are you doing mentorship? And is that something that you still are, like, taking on new mentees currently to this day?
Of course, man. I mean, I used to, like, pour all my time into mentees, but I don't think that's efficient. Mm-hmm. I think the best mentorship is action. Some people might really look at Barack Obama. They might really, they have mentors that they haven't even met yet. You can mentor without even speaking to them. Like, I told myself this year that focus on being the light instead of telling everybody about the light.
Yo.
Because being the light, when you being the light, like, people will look at you and then they will start to mimic your actions. Like, if you knew me while I was at Central, you knew there was one place that you could find me. And that one place was at the library. So people literally start to, when they wanted to get their grades up, I'm gonna go hang with Carl. I won't tell anybody to come to the library. I was just leading by example. I feel like that's the best leadership possible, is just being who you say you are, doing the things that you say you're going to do. Because if I told you that I looked at all this information and you seeing what it's doing for my life, when you reach your breaking point, you're gonna look at all the information. Convince you, please look at this 2024 now.
So like, being a mentor, like, what don't you like about it? I'm curious. Because it, you know, it has its pros and cons. And I just feel like being in similar roles, it can be frustrating sometimes when you're in that position and you feel like you're trying to help people help themselves and they're giving you pushback in certain ways. I'm just curious from you, like, what don't you like about the mentor mentee dynamic?
Man, it's really interesting, because I really feel like in order for me to really stay a mentor, I had to really understand what it means to give with a good heart. What it means to give is to give without expecting anything in return. Like, that's when you give with a good heart. You don't give with a good heart if you give with expectations. So when I'm giving my energy, I don't even need to expect you to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my problem. Like, I'm literally giving through the spirit of giving. And when I started to look at it like that, it kind of changed, because sometimes you're giving with people, you're giving to people your time, energy, and effort, and sometimes they're going to play with it. Sometimes people in the world are going to play with it. You know, live my life with doing my part. You know, I'm going to give you the information, and then, you know, it's on you to apply it. I'm going to give you the energy that you need to win, and it's up to you to apply it. I'm not just giving you fluff information. Like, I'm calling you to see, like, hey, have you applied this information? But at the end of the day, if you don't do it, it doesn't get to me emotionally like it does anymore, because I realize, like, I'm giving with the expectation of not even receiving. And that's what a good heart of giving is.
Yeah, I like that response, man. And I agree. I think way too often in our community, things have become transactional. It's literally quid pro quo. I won't do this unless I get this in return. And I feel like that sort of mentality it goes to the, like, that scarcity mindset versus, like, living in abundance, so to speak, right? Like, where you feel like you always got what you need versus feeling like you're about to run out or need to always have something, the next thing. Like, I agree with that, man. And when you're working with people, I do think it's important to make sure you come from a place of just, I'm not here to expect anything. I'm not here to take anything from you. When you take this news and get it, it's just like, this is for you. Whether you take it, leave it or not, It's not going to make or break my day, but the least I could do is give you the knowledge. And people, I mean, just for those people listening, like, information is such a sacred thing that's almost been like devalued because of the internet, right? Because like when you think about pre-internet information, you had to go to the library, dig through books,
encyclopedias,
like all types of stuff just to find little nuggets of information. Whereas today, there are a lot of folks like yourself putting on events like Weekend of the Minds, where not only are you providing information, you're also providing face-to-face opportunities to meet and interact with these experts, right? So, like, I want to talk a little bit about some of these experts. Like, what can we tease on the G pod? Like, who's going to be in the house that maybe don't nobody know about? Like, who can people expect to see at the Weekend of the Minds?
Okay. I mean, first off, we got Eat with Zoe. I don't know if you guys know. Let's Make Something Out of Nothing. He went to UNCG, and, you know, he was just on a Jennifer Hudson podcast probably about a month or two ago. He is going to be a speaker. We have, you know, King Richard Pops. He is from Los Angeles. He is a seven-figure trader, like not even just a seven-figure trader, man. The things that he has done for Los Angeles and the community there, like he is a prominent figure coming all the way down here from the West Coast to be able to, you know, grace the stage with training strategies and sharing his story. He has an amazing story. You know, his daughter introduced him to trading. She was just 17 years old. You know, he was washing cars out in California, and he was able to, you know, really change his life and his family situation, you know, in a decent amount of time. You know, he has a great story. We also have, you know, Christiana Hurt. She is doing big things in the e-com. You know, I'm pretty sure you've seen a reel on her on Instagram. You probably just didn't know. She has done a lot of great things with e-com sales. We have one, you know, big CEO that, you know, we're in the process of locking in right now. It's not final, so I can't speak too much about it. But, you know, we're hoping we can lock him in as well. Of course, we have, you know, Bryce Thompson is going to be there too. He's a award-winning author and entrepreneur. He has his own brand, you know, own brand of shades. We have, you know, Joshua Stewart. He has his own shoes. You know, Ordinary Odds. It's so many people. You know, they just did an event with the NBA in Atlanta, you know, partner with Hennessy. It's so many people, things at a high level that will be in a building that you can brush shoulders with. You know, I'll be talking to people too. They're like, man, you know, I might be a little busy, you know what I'm saying, that day. I'm like, yo, like, if you had the opportunity to brush shoulders with, you know, whales and people that are giving you information, like, that's something that I will set aside time for to lock in. But it all depends on how serious are you about your future? How serious are you about your future? I know my guy Kalia tells a story all the time of, you know, a guy stranded in the water on a pursuit of happiness, I believe. And, you know, person comes by and they saying, hey, you know, I'm here to save you. Like, you need help? He said, no, I'm waiting on God to save me. Three people came, you know, three opportunities came. Nope, I'm waiting on God to save me. And then the person ended up passing away and he got to heaven. He said, like, God, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent three people. This is not the first event that came to your desk. Like, this is not the first level of information that came to your desk. It's up to us to really understand, like, what the present is trying to tell us, the opportunities of the present, so we can gain access and get the keys to the future. The future that we say that we want, you know, the future that, you know, people say that, you know, I want to get to the next level, but you're really not going to get to the next level until you want it more than you want to breathe. Like, being an entrepreneur, you know, if you would have talked to me when I first left Central, man, I had like, you know, I had a new entrepreneur perspective. But entrepreneurship is not for the weak. Mm-hmm. It's not for the weak at all.
It's a blood sport. It's a blood sport.
It's a blood sport, man. It's one of those things where, you know, it's going to require a better you. Like, it's going to require a better you. No bargaining at all. Like, you're going to have to get better.
And you also mentioned an app that y'all going to be talking about at the event. Is this app already live, or is this something that's coming? Like, I'm curious to hear a little more about this actual app that seems like it's going to be, you know, sounds like another great resource for people to leverage.
Yeah, I mean, this app is already in, you know, in the works. Like, it's already here. You know, it's already working great right now. Everybody can go download it right now. In fact, it's called NVU, and you can download on the app store. It's completely free.
Like, I'm gonna spell it in the comments. What do you say? Like NVU, or like just the NVU?
Yep, NVU. NVU. That's it. Everybody can download the app. And of course, you know, when you download it, it's going to have, you know, blue and light blue and white letters. When you download it, it's one of those things where, you know, of course, you're not gonna be able to access all the features of it. But, you know, of course, you know, get in contact with me and I'll show you how to do everything that you need. You know, this app also has a ChatGPT built-in feature. You can ask it anything, you know, and it'll be able to answer majority of your questions about the market. We have live calls on these, you know, on this app. Like everything is in-house. This technology is really of the latest, because I started back when we didn't have stuff like this. You know, right now in 2024, everything's evolving. Shout out to, you know, artificial intelligence. Just shout out to, you know, people who are looking to improve things.
And I appreciate you bringing up AI, because this is an interesting time for all of us, where, I mean, maybe not since like the 70s with the computer age on the, like at the early stages of blowing up to where it's going to be the new standard, right? Like I'm born in the 80s. Computers were still, I remember being little with the floppy disk, didn't have good screens, like big bulky machines, like versus where we are today. Just imagine what this AI and generative AI, these large language models, and what these things will be 10 years from now, let alone 20 years from now. And for everybody listening, if you are looking for opportunities to maybe take something to the next level, that's a great place to invest your time and energy in gaining some sort of mastery and understanding of what's going on, because the AI is not going anywhere and it's going to be everywhere. This is a unique point where a lot of us are at the same starting point, no matter your age, your background. Obviously, there are some folks who have been in it for a while, so they're just doing what they do. They're in the machine learning world and all that stuff. But for a lot of us, it's brand new for everybody. So like, that's a great opportunity that you can really go in and really make a difference, in my opinion.
Yes, man. You know, I heard, you know, somebody say, people say they don't have time to learn about artificial intelligence, but it'll save them all the time in the world. You know, even when people just started using, you know, ChatGPT and realize like, wow, it really can come up with the email. You know, if you send out emails on your job, you can come up with the paper. Like it really can come up with a whole lot of things that can save you time, or at least give you ideas that can save you time. So, you know, just that habit of continually learning and staying ahead, like that's the true gift. I tell people all the time, when I first started, when I really went to the gym, that opened up a lot of doors into the rest of my life. It gave me a better relationship with God. It gave me an understanding how true success works, because you can go in the gym and you can work out on every single piece of equipment and you're not getting results tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You show up every single day, improving on your form, improving on your diet, then you will get the results over time. And if you use that habit right there, you can learn anything in the world. Reading is essential. Oh my God, reading is essential. Like I learned that Bill Gates, who's averaging about 120 books a year.
Yes, wow.
I'm like, one thing I started doing after I heard that is I got Audible. And I
bought it. Shout out to Audible. Yeah.
I bought a physical copy of the book and I started to scale my reading. Mm. If I can listen to at least an hour, like I know, like the average book is like, you know, 4 to 7 hours. I can listen to an hour a day. I can average a book a week. That's 4 books.
Man, that's fire, man. I gotta say, like Audible, as somebody who creates audio content, podcast content, I consume because I wanna hear what the standard is, right? I feel like I'm competing with all these other things, and I consume audiobooks, dog walks, going to the grocery store, just anytime I'm riding, instead of listening to, say, I could get some information that's actually gonna benefit me in some form or fashion. And the crazy thing about Audible that I like is that really, no matter your goals, no matter your interests, no matter your profession, there are resources on there that it can help whatever that is. You know what I'm saying? They got the books, they're there, and you can listen to them, easy reads or easy listens. So yeah, man, shout out Audible, Amazon. Give us the bag. We can sponsor this thing by Audible every single day, man. So shout out to Audible for sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we do have time. It's just a matter of, are we going to find it? You could turn your car into a classroom.
Exactly.
How intentional are we going to be about the things that we really want? And, you know, once you reach that level, it's like you're there. Once you get it, I can tell you get it. You're so intentional about how you use your time, because that's the biggest gift that God has given us, time.
Yeah, man.
How the way you use it is going to determine, like, are you taking the biggest gift for granted? And that's why I love freedom, because I just want to use and how I'm supposed to use it.
And what do you think that, like, what do you think your gift, how, like, what do you think that is? How, like, what is it and how are you supposed to use it?
I think my gift is teaching and informing. And that's why I mysteriously found my way mentoring people when I went, you know, to school for mass communication, and I was going to be a lawyer. Like, and the opportunity came a week before graduation. Like, it's just meant to be this way. You know, when I get older, about 30, 40, 50, and I start, you know, getting older, and I've done a lot of things in my career that I wanted to do, I want to, you know, eventually go back and teach.
Age group, or like what type of, like what do you think is it would be the most ideal teaching situation for somebody like yourself?
I want to deal with somebody that is warm. I want to be able to cultivate their mind so they can just get the information that they need and the understanding that they need to take them over the top. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, I love kids, but, you know, I want them to have, you know, a foundation of experiences. I want them to almost be there, and I want to bridge the gap and take a lot of people that, you know, they're just right there and take them over the top. And I believe college is that area for me, and an area for a lot of people where you start to realize who you are. You start to realize your identity. You might not know it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I was warm in college.
Yeah.
Word. And I just people like Keon to bring me on over. You know what I'm saying? To bring it out of me. So definitely, I think, you know, being a professor would be appropriate.
Word. Yo, man, it's probably in the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, and when it happens, we'll definitely have to circle back, maybe even do like in-person classroom, because I could definitely see just from the energy, the just even the way that you articulate, and I can tell there's a genuine passion for what you say. You see what I'm saying? Like, I can feel the passion behind what you say, and you're putting the work in, and people can see that work, like, by creating these events. So, like, if somebody is new to the community and they show up at this event, like, what's next after that? Is there other events that they can go to? Do they just have to download the app? But let's say I go to this event in Raleigh, what's next for me after that?
I think the biggest thing is just coming to the event and having no expectations. Like, you know, we don't have no expectations for people to join the community. Like, I want people to really come to that event looking to gain a new perspective. Once you gain a new perspective, then, you know, new ideas are going to flow from there. And then, you know, you might have a new connection. You might have a newfound, you know, we're going to have different industries there. You might figure out, hey, I want to try this out. And then after you come here and you get all the knowledge from the event, I'll say, you know, live in the present, move from there. But the biggest thing is just making sure you get in the room. And I've been advocating, I've been telling people, this event is going to sell out. It's going to be one of those things, like, we do have a capacity. It's going to get reach. I can promise you that. Like, it's people flying, you know, to United States out of the country to come to Raleigh, North Carolina. That's why it's so big. That's why I'm doing as much, you know, speaking as possible right now, raising awareness for my particular community, because Raleigh is my stomping grounds. I came here in 2019 and I never left. I'm from the 252, but I've been residing in Raleigh, the RDU, for a long time, you know. And, you know, this is just my place of business now.
Do you think you'll see, do you see yourself anywhere else outside of North Carolina?
No, I don't. I love North Carolina.
Like, I do too. But why? Tell me why you don't see yourself outside of nowhere else.
I mean, I do feel like, you know, to raise a family, we have the best educational system. We have a lot of HBCUs. We even do have UNC Chapel Hill, Duke, ECU, you know, if you want to go that route, NC State. We do have amazing real estate. We do have, you know, the future. We have, you know, the tech, the triangle right here in Raleigh. We have so much. We had two Black Wall Streets. We had one in Durham. We had one in Wilmington. So much Black history here. I believe Durham is the second place in the world for female entrepreneurs to thrive at. We have a mixture of the city. We have a mixture of the country. We have a mixture of the mountains. We have a mixture of the beaches. What can you ask for?
Man, shout out to North Carolina, man. Shout out to NC.
One of those things where I have a lot of pride in NC, you know what I'm saying? You know, I just got a lot of pride in NC. I feel like a lot of people that just be hating on NC, like, yeah, you hating on it, but when you go somewhere, you're going to want to come back.
I agree, man. I've lived other places. I live in other countries, and my Black ass is right back in Durham, where I was born and raised, man. There's no place like home, man. So shout out to the great state of North Carolina. Shout out to Picasso. Shout out to the Weekend of the Minds coming up. We got the link in the chat in case you haven't seen it, need access to it. The link is in the chat. Get your tickets right now. I'll go ahead and put it up on the screen in case y'all want to get the long URL. But just the event is going to be live. I got to just highlight how you said you took advantage of the resources that were in front of you. And even though that's just a small thing, is something that is unfortunately not done by the majority of folks. Right. And that's just, it's too common, man. There's a lot of opportunities that are offered to us. I like how you shared the story about the one person came, second person came, I sent three people, and you let it all go by. Your opportunity won't always look the way you want it to look. You got to understand this, right? Just because you want something doesn't mean it's going to go the way you think it should go, nor is it going to always look the way you think it should look. So you got to open up your mind, embrace challenges, challenge yourself to do things different than you've done in the past. And the weekend of the minds might be one of your first opportunities in taking that step. So make sure y'all get y'all tickets. Picasso, man, we're going to start to sort of wrap things up. I'm curious, though, before we get up out of here, we talked about growing up in Edgecombe, going to Central, what led you to the entrepreneurial ventures. Like, just what type of businesses do a brother have today? Like, what do you do as an entrepreneur outside of the trading in these events?
For sure. Yeah, I literally went to a party. Shout out to my brother, George. I also manage, Dyro, as well. He's my line brother as well. And he's doing a lot of great things on the music scene, he's a singer. He's an all around artist. You know, he's into reggaeton, man. He makes a lot of great music. He's a Spanglish artist, so he's diverse. So when I'm not trading or working out, I spend a lot of my time, being his manager, listening to his music, inspiring him to go, face his fears and, to get on stage. And he's just so talented. I promise you, I would not even give my time if I didn't think like he really had it in him. So I'm super excited to see where he's going to go. So outside of trading and working out, I am a manager.
Word. And you said a Spanish reggaeton artist out of North Carolina?
Out of Raleigh, North Carolina.
How about that? Are they from Raleigh or from North Carolina or what? Like, just tell me a little bit more about the artist.
Yeah, so Dyro originally is from Washington Heights, New York. But he moved down, as a kid to Fayetteville, North Carolina. There he went to Central, and he was just influenced by music. Like, he has a real talent of like just understanding, like he can just hear music. Like, we'd be in the gym, he'd be like, hey yo, let me let you listen to this, and all of his music is just so catchy. And he just makes music with his people, Heavy, Henry the producer, Vic the producer, like all those individuals, they're literally chasing their dreams as well. And anytime somebody is chasing their dreams, you just gotta say, how can you support?
Word up. What any final? So we've had, shout out to everybody listening, everybody in the chat, man. We really appreciate y'all. Just for to kind of close it out, I like to ask people, if there's any sort of final thoughts or takeaways that, it was a lot of jewels in here, if I'm being honest, I have to say, but if there's any takeaways or any final thoughts that you just want to make sure people who are watching or listening walk away with, like what would you say to them?
I would say that there is power in words. Words are life. So, whatever life that you're trying to create, you need to be using your words as a weapon every single day, as a tool every single day to be able to create that life. So whether that's, positive affirmations or, whatever that looks like for you, make sure you're talking to yourself in a manner, that is healthy, and make sure you're reminding yourself every single day why you do the things that you're doing. That is the biggest important thing, is just writing the vision down, making it plain, write the vision down, speak the vision, and then you become the vision. It becomes muscle memory. You start living the things. You start living it. And once you start living it, it's no facade. It ain't no advertising. You are the words that you speak every single day. So start using your words wisely.
Speak the vision, you become the vision. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Man, shout out to everybody listening. This is the G Podcast, where we focus on family, friends, finances, freedom, and our future, and everything else. This is the G Pod. We got Picasso in the building. Weekend of the Minds, July 26th, July 27th. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Show your support. Become a member of the G community. Only $4.99 a month. And if you really enjoy this episode, before you get up out of here, just hit us with a little bit of that super chat, man. Thank y'all for listening. Ha!